The United States spends more on healthcare than any nation on earth, yet American mothers face a higher risk of dying from pregnancy complications than women in 40 other countries, while mothers in Bosnia and Herzegovina are 4 times less likely to die in childbirth. Americans pay premium prices for some of the worst maternal outcomes in the developed world. This paradox reveals a troubling truth. American birth has transformed from a natural process into a profit-driven industry where corporate interests frequently override evidence-based care. The business of baby begins long before birth, with a cascade of interventions that often create the very problems they claim to solve. What if the standard practices we've come to accept without question are actually driven more by profit margins than medical necessity? And what happens when we follow the money trail through every aspect of pregnancy, birth, and early parenting? Elizabeth Goodman Lodgelin's case illustrates the dangers of routine testing. This healthy 30-year-old was diagnosed with low amniotic fluid, prescribed bed rest, and delivered prematurely via C-section. She died from a pulmonary embolism 27 hours later, a complication linked to bed rest. These interventions were likely unnecessary, as amniotic fluid measurements are inaccurate up to 41% of the time, and bed rest, prescribed to approximately 700,000 American women annually, has never been proven beneficial for any pregnancy condition. American pregnant women receive an average of 3 ultrasounds per pregnancy, despite inconsistent accuracy. Estimated fetal weight can vary by a pound in either direction, and pre-14-week gender identification is wrong nearly 20% of the time. More critically, a New England Journal of Medicine study of 15,151 women found no outcome differences between routine versus medically indicated scans, while adding over $1 billion annually to healthcare costs. Financial incentives drive overuse of ultrasounds. Patients enjoy seeing their babies, and doctors earn more from additional testing. Emerging research raises concerns about potential harm, with neurologist Manuel Casanova hypothesizing links between ultrasound and autism based on evidence that ultrasound waves can deform cell membranes and increase cell division. The midwifery model offers a prevention-focused alternative, emphasizing nutrition education and natural health building rather than technological intervention. This approach remains marginalized, largely because the medical system rewards billable procedures over time-intensive holistic care. The cascade of intervention in American hospitals often creates the very problems it claims to solve. Fear in hospital settings can stall labor, prompting Pitocin, which causes painful contractions, leading to epidurals, fetal distress, and ultimately cesarean sections. This pattern has driven America's C-section rate from 5% in the 1960s to nearly 33% today. Financial incentives play a role. C-sections cost almost twice as much as vaginal births, $20,228 versus $11,114, and require longer hospital stays, giving hospitals little motivation to lower their rates. Hospital protocols frequently work against physiological birth. Women often labor in positions that contradict the body's natural mechanisms, while electronic fetal monitoring has a high false positive rate and doesn't reduce birth-related brain injuries, according to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists' own review. Most first-time mothers don't realize their doctors will be absent during most of labor, with care primarily provided by nurses who may be overworked. Despite evidence showing continuous support improves outcomes, laboring women are often left alone when nurses are busy. After birth, the ideal of quiet parent-newborn bonding rarely matches hospital reality. Babies are quickly separated for interventions: suctioning, cord cutting, cleaning, eye ointment, weighing, vitamin K injection, and screenings, typically taking 30 to 60 minutes and disrupting crucial early bonding. This separation contradicts research showing better outcomes for babies kept skin to skin with mothers. Dr. Nils Bergman's studies demonstrate skin-to-skin babies have more stable vital signs and lower stress hormones. Immediate cord clamping illustrates how routine procedures can harm newborns, depriving them of up to 40% of their blood volume. Studies show delayed clamping results in 30% higher iron stores at 6 months and reduced risk of intraventricular hemorrhage. The NICU represents profit-driven care, with stays reimbursed at dramatically higher rates. The average NICU stay costs Medicaid $45,000, 18 times more than a normal birth. When one Texas hospital chain prohibited elective early inductions before 39 weeks, their NICU profits plummeted by 96%, from $4.5 million to just $186,000 annually. Few American parents realize that infant foreskins have commercial value. Hospitals provide these donated tissues to biotech companies, which transform them into medical products like dermal fillers, artificial skin, and wound dressings that can cost upwards of $1,000 per treatment. While physicians typically charge around $300 for circumcision, hospital fees can be much higher. One Massachusetts mother discovered her son's procedure could cost up to $23,000, with Mass General quoting $9,000 to $17,000. Social conformity drives most American circumcisions, with parents wanting sons to look like Pierce or match their father. American medical organizations claim benefits outweigh risks, while European counterparts increasingly oppose routine circumcision, with some countries considering bans. The procedure carries significant risks that often go unreported, ranging from minor bleeding to severe cases of penile amputation and death. Pediatric urologists regularly repair botched circumcisions, with one reporting that 20% of his patients seek help for circumcision-related complications. Formula manufacturers systematically undermine breastfeeding through strategic marketing. They distribute free hospital samples during critical bonding periods and maintain databases for follow-up calls when mothers typically doubt their milk supply. Their influence extends to pediatric practices through branded materials and product deliveries. Formula is processed cow's milk with synthetic additions, while breast milk is a living substance containing white blood cells, custom antibodies, and human milk oligosaccharides that nourish beneficial bacteria while inhibiting pathogens. Similarly, diaper manufacturers benefit from delayed potty training. With 13 million American children in diapers, 95% disposable, Americans spend $9.8 billion annually. In the 1950s, 90% of children were potty trained by 18 months. By 2001, average training age rose to 35 months for girls and 39 for boys, a shift influenced by pediatrician Dr. T. Barry Brazelton's child-led philosophy. Most parents are unaware that Brazelton became Pampers' plus-size diaper spokesperson in 1999, promoting delayed training despite colleagues criticizing this conflict of interest. Parents must become informed advocates rather than passive consumers by researching options, understanding interventions, and questioning non-evidence-based practices. When problems occur, families should document experiences, engage advocacy groups, contact journalists, and pressure legislators for reform. Norway offers a compelling alternative with midwife home visits, public health nurses, mandatory paid rest for mothers, and paternity leave, policies prioritizing family well-being over profits. Countries like the Netherlands, Sweden, and Japan make evidence-based decisions about medical protocols, using interventions more selectively and achieving lower maternal mortality rates. We can reclaim birth from corporate interests by building supportive networks, choosing care providers carefully, and trusting our instincts. The business of baby thrives on passive consumers, but informed, connected parents can transform the system. Our children deserve healthcare driven by evidence rather than profit margins.